Hello, this is Neil Thompson. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to talk to you about the importance of stress. I've been studying stress for many years now, and I've seen just how much harm it can do to people. I've seen that it can affect individuals and their families, causing great distress, leading to all sorts of health problems, the breakdown of relationships in some cases, and a whole range of difficulties that can be highly problematic for not just the individual concerned, but for the people around him or her. Stress can also affect groups of people. For example, teams of staff can be affected by stress. It can happen that one person becomes stressed and perhaps goes off sick. That can then put additional pressures on other staff members, and that can then lead to additional stresses in the team. So there can be a knock-on effect at times. Or it may be that it's not just an individual matter, that what's happening is there is something going on in that particular organisation or that particular team or staff group which is having an effect on the group as a whole. For example, there may be conflicts that are taking place that are leading to additional pressures that then result in people feeling stressed about their workload. But stress can go beyond that. It can sometimes affect whole organisations. For example, I've at times been called in as a consultant to work with organisations which are struggling with immense pressures, whether that's for a particular reason where something significant has changed to bring about additional pressures, or it may be that it's just an accumulation of things, that there isn't one specific underlying cause. The situation has just evolved in that way for a variety of reasons. But whatever the cause may be, a specific one or a set of different causes, the result is the same, that many people can suffer quite considerably as a result of stress. So clearly stress is something that we need to take quite seriously. I was involved in a research study in the mid-90s that looked at three organisations and measured levels of stress within that. Within the three organisations, it was a sort of comparative study. Two of those organisations recorded worrying levels of stress that there were clearly concerns about how many people within the organisation were saying that, for example, their workload was excessive or that they were not being adequately supported in dealing with their pressures. But the third organisation was even worse. The levels of stress recorded were extremely high, but it was more than that. What we actually encountered was what we came to refer to as a culture of stress. There was so much stress in that particular organisation that people had come to expect stress. They saw it as normal. They didn't see it as a temporary aberration where there was a situation that had temporarily caused stressful reactions. It was as if the whole organisation was characterised by an excess of pressure, that the whole thing was in some sort of pressure cooker and causing considerable harm and distress to people. But what worried us most was the fact that people seemed to think that this was only to be expected, that in some way it was a normal reaction. Quite worrying, that, clearly. Now, that was the mid-1990s. These days, I suspect that such a culture of stress is even more common than it was then. This can be the case particularly in public services, where government after government has shown a lack of appreciation of public service, a lack of commitment, in my view, to the importance of public service and the need to invest in it. So what we've seen in public service and often beyond public service, even in private organisations, we can still get similar levels of stress that produce the sense that stress is only to be expected. If you work here, expect to be stressed. Now, that's a very dangerous way of going about things. It fails to appreciate just how damaging stress can be, just how destructive it can be for individuals, for groups of staff, and for whole organisations, as we've already noted. So, where there is a culture of stress, that really is a problem that needs to be given considerable attention. But unfortunately, what I see on a fairly regular basis in my work is that so many organisations are just coming to accept stress as the norm. So many staff within those organisations seem to assume that it is acceptable for them to be under excessive levels of pressure on a more or less daily basis. Now, what's particularly worrying about that is that stress tends to have the effect of lowering morale. So where there's a lot of stress, morale will go down. And that can then create a vicious circle, because if morale goes down, people achieve less. They find it more difficult to get through their working day. That extra pressure can then tip many people over the edge, as it were, so that pressure, which can be positive or negative, crosses that line and becomes health-affecting stress. In other words, the level of pressure reaches a stage where it is doing harm to people. That, in turn, can then lower morale even further, and round we go in a vicious circle. Now, an important thing to recognise about morale is that it is a sociological concept. What I mean by that is it's not simply a matter of individual motivation. Motivation and morale are often used interchangeably, and they are closely linked, but there is an important distinction to be drawn. Individuals are responsible for their own motivation, and individuals will, of course, vary considerably in terms of how motivated they are compared with others, or how motivated they may be at certain times. So somebody may be highly motivated one day and not so motivated the next. So in terms of motivation, what we're talking about is individual psychology, and that's quite complex, of course. But morale can be even more complex, because morale is about a shared culture. It's about how the atmosphere, or the mood, if you like, in a group of staff or even in a whole organisation can be adversely affected by a sense of defeatism or even cynicism. We can have organisations or sectors within an organisation where morale is so low that it is like a form of collective depression, almost a low level collective depression. So even people who are individually highly motivated can suffer and be dragged down by this sense of shared low morale. The culture is a set of assumptions, a set of habits, a set of taken for granted ways of seeing the world, if you like. And so the negativity associated with low morale can be very destructive. It can make it much harder for people to feel motivated to do their job. It can make getting through the work pressures much harder. But what it can also do, which is in itself very dangerous, is distort perception. Low morale tends to put a strong emphasis on pessimism. People who are working in a low morale culture are likely to perceive mainly the negatives of a situation and have little understanding of the positives. So what will tend to occur is the perception of the situation will be slanted in the negative direction. People will pick up on things they're not happy with very quickly and perhaps not notice positives. So that distortion can be quite dangerous and once again can lead to vicious circles. Now, low morale is not inevitable and nor is stress. There are things that we can do, but unfortunately, there are two traditions that have developed that can stand in the way of keeping stress at bay. The first of these two traditions, as it were, is the individual psychological focus that has come to characterise stress. What is important is that we move away from this individualistic approach because it has a tendency to pathologize individuals, to make it seem as though the fault lies within them. So, for example, somebody who is perhaps being bullied, has an excessive workload, and is not receiving adequate support can be labelled as somebody who is not up to the job without adequate attention being paid to the wider organisational and sociological factors that need to be taken into account when we are looking at stress. Linked to this is the tendency for stress to be seen as a form of illness. People talk about symptoms of stress, for example, whereas in reality, of course, it's much more complex than that. Stress can make people ill at times, it can exacerbate existing health problems, but it is not in itself an illness. It is a sign that something is wrong somewhere, and that's not just something wrong within the individual. It can be very counterproductive to put all the emphasis on the individual, because when an individual is feeling stressed, the idea that it's their own fault, it's their own weakness or inadequacy, will prevent them from asking for help, perhaps at a crucial time when support could have made all the difference. The second tradition that has developed that can be quite problematic is an emphasis on passive coping. Now, what I mean by passive coping is the sort of thing that can make it easier to bear the burden of stress, but which doesn't make any actual difference to the causes or sources of stress. So passive coping would include things like breathing exercises, relaxation, and so on. Now, I'm not saying that these don't have a place, they certainly do, but where there is a strong emphasis on these, it can be at the expense of more active coping mechanisms. And what I mean by an active coping mechanism is where we try to identify where is the stress coming from? Is there anything we can do about it? Can we bring about any changes? Can we get support in dealing with our current challenges and so on? And I see that more active approach to stress as being much more effective, and it can then be accompanied by passive coping approaches too. But where there is only a passive coping response and nothing is being done in terms of active coping, then we are missing out on significant opportunities to rise to the challenge of stress. Now, to bring this presentation to a conclusion, I want to emphasise that there are no magic answers when it comes to stress, but there are important steps that we can take that can help. And I'm going to focus on three just briefly by way of conclusion. First of all, do not accept stress. It is very destructive and a health and safety hazard. It is not inevitable, and just taking it as for granted, taking it as read, does not help. It just contributes to a sense of helplessness, which can then contribute to low morale. Secondly, we need to take a broad view of stress to recognise that there are psychological individual factors involved, but there are also broader organisational and social factors, and just focusing narrowly on the individual can be counterproductive. And then last but not least, if stress is affecting you or your colleagues, then you need to put it on the agenda. Pull together and help each other to get a collective response to what is, after all, a broader organisational and social problem, as well as just an individual challenge. So thank you for listening, and good luck in your efforts to keep stress at bay.